This was spurred on by what took place the last time that we met. You remember Wayne asking about the fruit? Well, I couldn't start right in the middle of this, so we have to go to the beginning of it in Galatians chapter 5. And what we don't want to do is mix law and grace. Okay, that's the title of this. All right, so I couldn't just jump right in the middle of verse 16 and say, let's walk by the Spirit. I just can't do that. So we have to learn this first part. So this is going to go fairly quickly tonight so we can spend time in prayer. And speaking of prayer, let's go to prayer right now. Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Father, for what you have done in our life. What amazing grace you have for us. It just stirs my soul, Father, when I even hear the word and to hear of your love. It is powerful, it is life-changing, and it's never ceasing. And I thank you for that, Father. Father, I pray tonight that you would open our ears and our hearts and let us hear from you as we read your word and as we hear this teaching. In Jesus' name, amen. And as before, this is open Bible study, guys, okay? We teach one another, okay? I'm not... So let's get started. If you noticed in verse 1, you know, I just want to say something. I really thank the pastor. Here was a Pastor Greg. Was that his name the 2 weeks ago?
Ernest,
that's what it was. Greg Ernest. I asked. Close enough. But I'm glad he came because I don't know about you guys, but I got a vivid vision of what Israel is like. By what he was teaching us about, you know, the Pharisees, as he described them and called them like gang members, you know. I just was so thankful to hear that because I had a misconception of what I thought in my mind's eye what it would look like and what it would be like over there. I know it has its places too. So let's start. Oh yeah, did they have something about that? Yeah. Did they? But it was great to hear. In verse 1 of chapter 5, it was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subjected again to a yoke of slavery. So we see that it was Christ who set us free and not we ourselves. Freedom is a gift from Jesus. And if you noticed that part about standing firm, that's an effort. He's given us an opportunity to be part of this freedom, so we have to stand firm. We have to stand firm in it. That effort is by faith, okay? And by faith, it's so we can receive what promise? So what, by this faith that we're in, what promise do we receive from the Lord? Do you remember in Galatians 3? Just go back a page, 10 through 14. Will someone read that, please?
Okay.
So you see that? It's the promise of the Holy Spirit. It's by faith. So we don't have to rely on ourselves to receive the Holy Spirit. It is that was the work that Jesus did upon the cross so we could receive this gift. And what a wonderful gift it was. It is, too. In verse 2, back to chapter 5. Now we see a testimony here by Paul. In fact, 2 and 3, Paul's testimony, he has been through this. Okay, so he knows what he's talking about. He says, "Behold, I, Paul, say to you that if you receive circumcision, Christ will be of no benefit to you. And I testify again to every man who receives circumcision that he is under obligation to keep the whole law." So Paul's already been through, he knows what's happening. So law, circumcision, and grace, Christ, do not mix. You can't mix them. You see what he's telling us right there? You cannot mix them. You cannot mix law and Christ and grace. So what should be circumcised in our life? Our heart. Exactly right. Go to Deuteronomy 36. Am I right? Yeah, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Yeah, Numbers first, then Deuteronomy. Yeah. Deuteronomy, yeah, 30.
There's not 36 chapters.
No, 36. Moreover, the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart, wait a minute, will circumcise your heart and the heart of your descendants to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul in order that you may live. Okay, so the circumcision is of the heart. And also in Romans 2:29, you guys know this probably by heart. I'll read this to you real quick. Romans 2:29 says, "But he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is that which is of the heart, by the Spirit, not by the letter. And his praise is not from men, but from God." So what happens once this circumcision takes part in our life? What happens to us? What happens in our life? Come on, you guys know this stuff. Come on. Go to Titus. Titus 3:5. So this is what's taking place when our heart is circumcised by the Holy Spirit. He saved us not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit. Okay? That washing is a completeness. And that regeneration in our life is a completeness also. Now, the Spirit may, and when we all go through it, we go through times when we're just dry. We can't seem to get things right. I mean, we pick up the Word of God and we just read it and it doesn't make any sense to us. We've been through that. There again, the Holy Spirit regenerates us again. It comes in and says, okay, look right here. Look at, read this, read that. And he leads us along. And he also reminds us of everything that Jesus said too. So I cannot be selective with the law. It is a unit. And I have fallen from grace if I try and justify myself by the law. That's in verse 4. So back to Galatians. Yeah, I have fallen from grace if I try and justify myself by the law. In verse 4, you have been severed from Christ. You who are seeking to be justified by law, you have fallen from grace. So if I try and do that, and do we know that we test God if we try and justify ourselves by the law? You know, the law is good and it has a purpose in our life. But we've been set free from it, okay? That was that gracious work that our Lord did for us. So we wouldn't have that yoke, that bondage upon us anymore. We'll see that here in Acts 15:10. So we test God if we try and justify ourselves by the law. Come on, you guys. Where you at today? Where you at tonight? Come on. Get into this. 15:10. Now, therefore, why do you put God to the test by placing upon the necks of the disciples a yoke which neither our fathers nor we have been able to bear? So here the church was trying to put this, and this false teaching, of course, was the circumcision, that you had to be circumcised before you could be saved. That's what the first part of this teaching was about. Mm-hmm. Even though we are. Yeah. So only in verse 6, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision or uncircumcision means anything, but faith working through love. Okay? Only faith through love has any eternal value at all. I mean, we can walk around and put on our faith badge and let everybody see it and how it's working and everything like that. But if it's done by the flesh and not by the Spirit, then it has no eternal value. We just look good on the outside. What's on the inside is what he's saying here. What's, huh?
Whitewashed tombs.
Yeah, whitewashed tombs. Exactly right. So we you know, I don't know about you guys, but I do that sometimes. I mean, I can speak to people and how do I explain it?
You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make
it. Not that. It's like when I start talking to somebody, it's like getting above where they're at. You know what I'm saying? Here I am up here. Here they are down here. You see what I'm saying? And that's done by the flesh. Instead of listening to the person and hearing what they're saying, I may put them down somehow by doing it that way. But if I listen, then I'm listening, then the Spirit can intercede there and give me the words to say and how to lead that person. So. Yeah, it's right there. I can see it. Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, we go through this. But it's faith. It's faith through love that has any eternal value at all. So how do we respond to God's grace? What's our response to it? Yeah, that's first of all. Yeah, we sure do. But according to the Word, there's a response on our behalf once we are cleaned. And that's also found in Titus 2. So if you go back over there. Titus 2, 11 through 15. And if someone will read that, please. Yeah. Okay, so that's the response that we have in our heart to our God, is to live this way. It's not as ungodliness or have worldly desires or to live sensibly, righteously, and godly. Okay. You know, we can get caught up in these times and what's going on. We can get caught up to the point where that we'll get really into it, okay, and forget who we are, and we'll be carried away with it, and just, you know, before long, you sound just like the rest of the world.
Disregard.
Right. Yeah. And that was in what verse was that in? Despise.
15.
Yeah, 15. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's our response. At any time, a person or a close friend can just lead us incorrectly. I mean, even a spiritual brother can say something that will throw us off track, that was something that we weren't looking for, you know. And it just gets us off into a different direction. And you guys have been through this. You've heard it. I was speaking with a co-worker here not too long ago on this very subject about grace, God's grace, and he was talking to me. He's from an Episcopal church, and he's talking to me about deeds, you know, and works and stuff like. He's a musician, so I can see his frustration sometimes when he has to go be part of a band or go somewhere to sing and play music and stuff like that. You can just see it in his face. He doesn't really want to do it, but because of the good work he thinks it's taken place, he does it. See, our life is not like that. We do it because we want to. It's a pleasure to do it for our God. And that's what the difference is. And this is what I was talking to him about. You know, I said, look, it's a personal relationship with God. It's not 1, 2, 3, 4. It's not like that. And he's saying, well, this is what my pastor says. And, well, this is what he says. And, well, this is what he says, you know. Yeah, and that's what I told him. I said, well, what does your Bible say about that? And I told him about that person. We've been called to a personal relationship with our Lord, with Jesus Christ. And he had never heard that before. And he said, what? And then we got busy, and he said, well, I'll talk to you later about it. So I'm just waiting for it to come up again. But yeah, there are times when we could be misled by a friend, you know, and it happens that way. Look at verse 7. He says, you were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? That's the false teacher that had come in there and talked to them about being circumcised before they could be saved. This persuasion did not come from him who calls you. So it wasn't from God. It was the man himself misleading the congregation. And Paul was trying to snuff this out quickly. So false teaching in one area can easily lead to defection in other areas. Is that true? Yeah, it can. I mean, if you receive one false teaching and you accept it, it'll be much easier to accept something else when it's not lined up with the Word of God. And I missed something right there. At any time, Well, Romans 8:28, you guys know this one too. At any time about, you know, it just says we know. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. See? But a false teacher is not called for God's purpose. He's called for his own purpose. But in this case, it was for it had merit, if you understand, because it was part of the church. The Pharisees and the law, it was part of the people were following it, trying to. But this is what Jesus' work did. So it was false teaching. So if we defect in one area, then it's easier to defect in another area. So we that's why we have to know the Word of God, so we won't accept something that is not from God. Okay. We're getting there, brother. Right on, yeah. You got it. In verse 9, exactly what CJ just says, and Paul says, a little leaven leavens a whole lump of dough. So what's he saying? What's he saying to them? What was the false teacher affecting here? What was it? What was he affecting? What are we talking about? Grace. Okay? This false teaching was affecting the doctrine of grace, the very thing that we've been. And if you notice in verse 10, he says, I have confidence in you, in the Lord, that you will adopt no other view, but the one who is disturbing you will bear his judgment, whoever he is. You notice, I don't know how to explain it. This is a beautiful portrait of Paul. You see his heart. Not only for the church, but also for the lost, for the person who's affecting, doing this false teaching. Teachers of grace should always build you up and give opportunity to those who have a different view. They repent. They always give them a time to repent. Any teacher should do that, any grace teacher, okay? So we see Paul doing that right here in verse 10. He says, I have confidence in you, in the Lord, that you will adopt no other view, but the one who is disturbing you will bear his judgment, whoever he is. So he's given this guy an opportunity to repent right here. And I'm sure, because this letter is being read to the whole church. In verse 11, keeping somebody awake. Paul says, But I, brethren, if I still preach circumcision, why am I still persecuted? Then the stumbling block of the cross has been abolished. What is the stumbling block? What's he talking about here? What is this stumbling block? What was the stumbling block for the Jews? Do you remember? Over in Romans 9, 30 through 33, we read, what shall we say then? That Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness attained righteousness, even the righteousness which is by faith? But Israel, pursuing a law of righteousness, did not arrive at that law. Why? Because they did not pursue it by faith. But as though it were by works, they stumbled over the stumbling stone. Just as it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stone, a stumbling and a rock of offense, and he who believes in him will not be disappointed. So Jesus was that stumbling stone. He's the stumbling block. And he may even trip us up every now and then too. I mean, there's some things in here that when I was a younger Christian just flat could not understand, could not accept. Huh?
That's why the world hates him so much.
Exactly right. Yeah.
He just gets in the way.
Mhm. That's why we when you hear people talking about God on the, they just say God on the on TV or anything like, they never speak about Jesus. Yeah. Never. Yeah. So Jesus is a stumbling block for the Jews. and also for unsaved people, just like CJ was saying. So how are we seen by others? For you were called to freedom, there it is again, brethren. Well, do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, in the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. So how are we seen? How are we seen, truly seen by other people? You know, I mean, I remember when I was younger, I used to try to hide my faith. I used to try and hide Jesus. I used to try and hide the Holy Spirit. That's when I was younger, because I was ashamed. I knew I was saved, but I didn't know how to express that salvation. So I knew it in my heart that I was saved, but yet I tried to hide that salvation that I had, that knowledge that I have of Jesus Christ. Not anymore. Yeah.
So the legacy.
That's what I was afraid of.
Yeah.
Not being accepted.
Right.
Yeah. Not being accepted. Because I remember how I used to teach. I mean, not teach, but treat godly men or women when I knew that they were saved. I remember some of the words that used to come out of my mouth concerning them. It was awful. So so that was, but not anymore. You know, I don't put on that spiritual badge anymore. And I don't take part in that flesh anymore with them. And that was your part right after that. It says, do we put on spiritual badges and take part with them in the flesh? I don't do that anymore. But there was a time, yeah. There was a time. I mean, I still slip up. I mean, I still have to remember what has taken place in my life. If I get around so-called bad company, before long I'm in with them, you know. So I got to get away, just stay away from them altogether. So if we do not love one another, we will not serve one another. That's what, basically what this is summing up right here, because we'll just bite and devour one another, and we'll just consume one another. I've seen, and you have too, churches just split on that very subject, where they're biting one another, gossiping, and they're tickling each other's ears, and they're clickish. There's a group over here, and there's a group over here, you know, and so-and-so don't like the pastor's teaching, so we'll go start a church over here. You've heard it all. We've been through it, and you've, you know, been part of it.
I have no idea what to
do. I know. or like Pastor Ernest said, the picking of the of your nose is just popping up. A nose hair. Look, see how picky that was. You remember that? Remember when he was telling us about that?
Yeah, you can't pick your nose.
Yeah.
How long did they argue over that? Years.
It was years, yeah. That's why the second part of Galatians 5, Paul says, walk by the Spirit. And you will not carry out the deeds of the flesh. So that's what we're going to learn next time I get to. That will be the second part of this when we get to it. But I just want to conclude with this part of the study tonight, with back into Titus again. I'm going to go back to Titus 5 through 8. Titus 3, 5 through 8. Yeah. Because we just touched on the first part of this. He saved us not on the basis of deeds, which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy, by the washing of regeneration and the renewing by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we would be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a testimony, a trustworthy statement, and concerning these things, I want you to speak confidently, so that those who have believed God will be careful to engage in good deeds. These things are good and profitable for men. So I just want to conclude with that. I mean, that's